Okay, so we're going to start this panel with Michelle Evans, head of the Willen Centre for Indigenous Arts and Cultural Development at the Victorian College of the Arts and Music in the University of Melbourne. So welcome, Michelle.
The Willen Centre is at the heart of the faculty of the Victorian College of the Arts and Music. We are a faculty now of the University of Melbourne, and it's only a new situation, probably for the past couple of years. And it's been a terribly intense period as we've now merged with the Faculty of Music, which is a very historical repertoire-based teaching and learning, chalk and talk sort of based faculty here at the University of Melbourne, as compared to the much more laboratory workshop approach down at the former VCA. So in this space of all the art disciplines, we're talking film and television, visual arts, music, dance, drama, production, we have a new discipline area of community cultural development and also Indigenous arts management. Within this kind of wonderful, beautiful complexity sits the Willen Centre for Indigenous Arts and Cultural Development. It was set up not to just only support and encourage Indigenous artists to consider training within one of the elite arts training institutions in Australia, but to also start to have a cultural change agenda, which we've heard a lot about this morning, and also to start to think, in my opinion, about what's happening out there in the industry for Indigenous arts and how might we contribute, whether it be research or programs or professional development. So within the environment, the Willen Centre decided in 2006 to establish a new discipline area. I am a graduate of the Victorian College of the Arts Management course, and since doing that course, I have not been out of a job. Arts management graduates are very, you know, well sought after, and what I was seeing out there for the Indigenous arts sector as an arts manager, as an Indigenous arts manager, is that there weren't very many people like me. And what were we going to do about it? Especially around the particular areas of concern that we see in remote art centres with a lot of fraud, a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of tense situations happening there. And the art centre managers actually have to be more than art managers. They have to also, you know, sell stuff at the local store and manage community conflicts and do all sorts of things. And so what training were people getting to be these sort of jobs? I thought it was an interesting and important space to actually develop something. So we developed the Graduate Certificate in Indigenous Arts Management for this. And the Indigenous arts industry is now a realm in which we act to create change. It's a very stifling industry for Indigenous artists. You'll see a bit later on in the presentation that we actually started to unpack the policies around the states and across the Australia Council for the Arts about what kind of boxes us in as Indigenous artists and what policies and funding is there available. It's a very, very difficult space for people to be in. In fact, it's stifling. The glass ceiling is so low that people are just boxed into Indigenous-specific areas. So how can we create a space or a new discipline area that people can just actually just move their head and look somewhere different, and let's create a new space for ourselves? We actually don't need to operate in this paradigm at all. Is this how I do it? How do I go forward?
This one.
Which one?
Thank you.
Yay. So, what I did as one of the lead authors on this course is think about the model of teaching for the course. And I wanted to establish a space that meant something for me as an artist. As a performing artist or a community cultural development practitioner, working in short projects where you have these intense highs and deep lows after it of separation and anxiety and isolation, that in fact that makes sense in the arts. So I wanted to also, you know, put that together with an Aboriginal block intensive delivery. I thought that those two things started to marry to each other. The second idea that I had was that I actually didn't want to teach the course as an academic in the academy, in the institution. I think that Indigenous practitioners in the industry should teach this course. So we actually went out and started to work with a whole heap of practitioners across the country. People like Tiriki Onus, people like Sam Cook, who's in the room and I acknowledge you today, who is former CEO, Artistic Director of Yuriyarka Noongar Theatre. People like Terry Jenke and Robin Quiggan, who can teach Indigenous protocols and law. People like Leilani Binjuda and Kerry McElvinney, who are arts managers. People like Margie Mackay and Anna-Marie McLeod, who are non-Indigenous arts workers working in our space. So we brought together a really fabulous team, and of course it's easier to do so with practitioners if it's block intensive. We also have a national cohort. So this, actually they're down there today, it's their last day of their last block this year. We've got people from Albany in WA, we've got people from Daly River, we've got people from Thursday Island, we've got people from Sydney and Victoria, and it's wonderful because in a sense they are the reflection of the industry and they make up their own network. So those were the kind of key principles that I wanted to establish the course with. And there it is. Sorry, I'm not doing this. I wanted to share with you just a few learnings of what I've learnt, because I think Sue and Gary and Martin have covered the space very well, and perhaps this is the space we're in. I'm not going to add much difference to that because I think the key challenges we're all facing. I really wanted to approach Indigenous arts management from a talent-based hurdle. I wanted to rigorously interview and engage with people who wanted to, you know, come and do this course. They have to write about their vision for the sector. They have to write about where they want to go themselves. They have to be able to talk about this. And I'm not talking, you know, I'm not that really interested in a bachelor's degree, even though that is one of the requirements, and or industry experience, which is where we actually start to open up the gates to postgraduate studies at the Faculty of VCA in Music. So some of the artistic and creative teaching principles, which move it beyond just, you know, the chalk and talk style learning, has been absolutely fundamental to our teaching of this course. We want to support students to manage their preconceptions about academic work. We've heard a lot about this today, and I think what rigour means for our course is reading, a lot of reading that they are challenged to present in as individuals and as groups, and that they are challenged to write, and that this is a challenge that they need to come at for themselves as a collective and in one-on-ones with me and with their lecturers. It's quite an intensive and interesting personal journey, because there is a fundamental clash of learning styles, both Western and our own Australian Indigenous ways of understanding the world. And not only learning styles, but values and the political imperatives and the policy directions that kind of underpin our work. We kind of get stuck there, and how do we move those students through? We spend a lot of time hearing what is said in the classroom and then slowing people down, stopping, unpacking some concepts, unpacking what's happening, or just calling an issue as it comes up in the classroom. And that's been really helpful. So it is, as Sue says, moving to a strengths-based approach, but also it's not really so much, I don't think my role is about teaching content, more about facilitating what's already known. Because I think a lot of the practitioners we have in our course already know what they're doing. They are arts managers. They are working in these concepts, but they don't necessarily have the tags that we might call it in a Western paradigm or within the management circle of you are doing project management right now. Or we're just kind of facilitating a different way and way of synthesising the concepts. Something we've talked a little bit about this year, this conference already, is drawing attention to a lot of the internalised conflict. And so this is where we slow down a lot, because the effects of colonisation is multi-level, it's intergenerational, it's it is a hard subject and it causes a lot of friction. So individuals, the group, can go through this complexity. And in a sense, I try, what we kind of come across in the room every block is that individuals, arts managers, are there and they're managing a lot of this stuff in the interface with non-Indigenous people so that non-Indigenous people are safe. And so we're containing all of this conflict. We're kind of hearing what people are saying. We're moving it around in ourselves in a way to facilitate and move things on. So that is deeply complex. The way in which Indigenous arts managers, Indigenous teachers, Indigenous people are interacting, interfacing in the Australian system is very complex. And just to actually show that in the room as we're talking, to hear what a person says and then to start to say, this is what I'm hearing, this is how, these are all the things that you're dealing with, and you're containing that for this project to go forward, it starts to show the complexity of the work. I've often talked about the complexity of the arts, the Indigenous artist or the arts manager is, you know, moving art that is sometimes and essentially about genealogy and culture and who we are to being in a fine art market or a product for economic, you know, value is a deeply complex thing to do. But it's just seen as, you know, oh yeah, you just sell that. But there is a lot of steps in there, and some people are able to show that in the way in which they, you know, bed work in. Like Arthur Pambegan Jr. from Aracoon, he sings his serame, his family, his sculptures into space, and he creates that liminal space where the product becomes an art object for fine art viewing and for economic exchange. So those are the kind of interesting dynamics and complex processes that we are conducting every day that we might not even think about, or that these students aren't thinking about, and I'm trying to draw attention to that. I found it important to spend one-on-one time with every student, every block. And that's been just a real blessing. I mean, it's just, it's reciprocity, it's everything that we know about Indigenous ways of teaching and learning, but it really helps, because I'm also seeing that I have now a role in their life and in their way in which they want to go forward. And I'm going to be working with them irrespective of whether they're a student or not. We're in the industry together. We're going to be drawing on each other, and that will happen. So dealing in those one-on-ones and even within a group, it uncovers a lot of grief, a lot of racism or internalised racism, the scales that people can start to place on themselves and others, even within the group, even within an Indigenous group, about who's more Indigenous than another, and authenticity and all of these sort of things. We just unpacked this course a couple of blocks ago, where we have one student who was from regional Victoria and one student from Northern Territory, and there was this tension, best mates. They're exactly the same in some instances. And so where do we draw on our similarities and our memories for each other there? But also, how do we know, and this is what I try and put back into the court of the student, is what their triggers are that start to show reactions within themselves about loss and grief and anger, about what they may or may not have been able to deal with already in their life. Group dynamics, of course, are a major deal. Absolutely huge, and for everything. How I've kind of designed the block is to deal with those. In the first block, you know, using the Tuckman theory of group psychology. It's really about forming the group, most certainly. It's about, and in a sense, some people have said to me, you know, why should Indigenous people do this unit? It's called Indigenous Arts and Cultural Identity. But you can't realise how diverse people are and how where people's gaps are. We've had students who don't even know the social political history of Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, which seems kind of peculiar. And like, what has happened in your life that you don't know this? But that's an important thing to know if you're going to work in this space. So we spend a lot of time, you know, we get really diverse speakers in to talk about that. And they hear and talk their story over and over again with each other and hearing each other. And it's an important way to form the group. In Block 2, which is around industry and marketing, it's in that storming stage, if we want to keep to that. It is a really complex one that starts to bring up the tensions that I've talked about, I guess. And actually, the one big thing that we've noticed is a lot of our students or artists have now started talking about themselves as a brand. And so this has a big, you know, it's kind of like this really interesting space that we get into, and it can create quite a lot of tension. In Block 3, we do the protocols, policy and law, and this is the most intensive block. It's the most reading, and actually everyone just kicks into gear supporting each other for that, and that has been brilliant. And the final block, which they're doing this week, is arts and project management. Of course, why they came to the course in the first place, but we're just, you know, kind of delaying them for some time to get to their ultimate aim of doing this, and it's been absolutely brilliant. I want to just touch briefly for 1 second on the obstacles, because when we take time in the academy to create a liminal space for this sort of learning to arise, this to be mindful, to be present, to see what happens, to have content, of course, but to also create a space, it does create a lot of problems for us as teachers as well as our students. And I think the red tape of universities can really restrict us when we're actually about a pedagogy of liberation and social change. And that's what we contain for the course to go ahead. So we're role-playing that as well in that space. But one of my students this block, this is a beautiful picture by Helen Price. She actually turned that red tape one before, which was about policy, into a piece of art, which is actually about elders and children and teaching and the complexity of that. And I want to suggest that learning and leadership are two sides of the same phenomena. And my message to you is that to use your platform in the classroom to encourage an inner leadership, a reflexive practice, so that our next generation of professionals is our gift, our generation's gift to ancestors and to communities. Thank you.